Hello and welcome to episode 3 of Subspace Communique's Life After Trek. I'm your host Chris, or Captain Pike from Subspace Communique. Tonight we're very pleased to introduce Jeffrey Combs. Many of you know him as Weyoun or Brunt, Shran from Enterprise. We had the amazing opportunity of getting an interview with Jeffrey here in Austin. He was here for the Fantastic Fest. He was actually here with Reanimator director Stuart Gordon. They were showing Reanimator and a couple of the other films that they've collaborated on. But he's also here to do his one-man show, Nevermore, and that's an evening with Edgar Allan Poe. We also had the amazing opportunity to see that show in a very intimate theater. If you're anywhere near where this is playing, you have to go see it. It was absolutely breathtaking. It was one of the best experiences I've had in live theater. And Jeffrey is amazing. He's the only person, obviously, in the show. It's a one-man show. But he's playing Edgar Allan Poe. And the idea behind the show is that he is there doing a reading. And much like Larry said in the last episode, that it's late in Poe's career. And he's obviously fallen to drink. Anyway, the whole point is you have to go see this. At the end of the show, we'll give you some dates where you can actually get the opportunity to see the show. But for this special episode, we actually recorded this live at the Highball, which is a club here in Austin. And we actually did it up in a karaoke room. It was a really small room. I had an air conditioner blowing constantly, so you're going to hear that during the recording. Also, as an added bonus for us, there were little gnats flying around the room that apparently somehow ended up in my esophagus, which I actually choked on in the middle of the interview. I cut out most of that, and it's a shame, too, because, you know, Jeffrey suggested that I had gotten extra protein for that day, which was totally funny. So here's episode 3 of Life After Trek. We really hope you guys enjoy this, so stay tuned. So we're here with Jeffrey Combs. We're in Austin. We're in a tiki karaoke room here at the Highball.
I guess it's tiki. Yeah, it's kind of tiki.
Kind of tiki, definitely.
Yeah.
But we are definitely pleased to have Jeffrey with us tonight or today, this morning, whatever you want to call it, wherever you are
in the middle of the night.
Whatever. Yeah.
So, of course, we all know Jeffrey from his work in Reanimator. We know him from Frighteners. We all, obviously, since you're listening to our podcast, you know him as Weyoun or Brunt or our favorite, Shran.
Shran.
Yeah. As we like to call him, Shran the Man.
Oh,
Blue,
yeah.
Blue Boy.
Yeah. Even your part on Voyager?
Yes.
Yep.
A oneer. But
yep.
I did, The Rock was in that episode. I'll never forget, he came up to me and he goes, "Can I have my picture with you?" And I was like, what?
Yeah, that's cool.
And this was long before he changed, his name, and he said, "You can call me Dwayne." And I remember thinking, Dwayne? I'll call you The Rock. Anyway, nice guy. Yeah, and all my Star Trek stuff, I have nothing but golden memories of that. And it was good, hard, imaginative, creative, honest, worthy work. I just had nothing but grand memories of all of that.
And of course, we loved it.
I was just going to say that, yeah.
Definitely loved it. Jeffrey's here. We're at Fantastic Fest. You started Monday, right, with Reanimator? There was a showing?
There was a screening on Monday night. There was a screening of From Beyond on Tuesday night, and sort of also an opportunity for us to go, hey, come see the show. And then last night, as you can maybe tell from my voice, we opened a 4-night run of one-man show I'm doing with Edgar Allan Poe. Hope you guys can.
Yep.
Yeah, we're
actually
sure
we have our tickets on
tomorrow night.
Yeah, tomorrow night.
Yeah,
good.
We actually, you know, it's funny. We found out about Nevermore, and we have a few questions about that
too.
We found out through Larry Nemechek's video that he shot of him.
Right.
And Johnny Carson Park.
You know, when we started that, it was originally last year. I opened the weekend right after 4th of July, and it was going to be a 4-week run. And I wound up closing just before Christmas.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
So Larry was in there somewhere and really helped with, just kind of getting the word out. But it just blossomed into something beyond our expectations.
And we recently saw your Masters of Horror,
oh,
which kind of sparked the whole
Edgar Allan Poe one-man show.
It was certainly the big step toward it. Actually, even before that, I had read a biography of Poe maybe a year and a half before that, and I told Stu, I said, why hasn't anybody made a movie of this?
Right.
That's what I was sort of reading the biography for. I was looking for a historical person that I could play. I wanted to meld my love of history with my craft, you know, and so I was thinking more towards them. And then a year and a half later, Stu came to me with the Black Cat script, and while we were shooting that, he kind of said, my God, you look just like him. You should do a one-man show. And I was like, yeah, that is not happening. but, you know, never say never, because I guess you can say never more, but maybe a year later or so, I kind of approached him and went, well, what would that look like? What would we do? And so we started throwing around ideas and looking at his material and picking things that we wanted to incorporate, and just kind of just had a wonderful evolution to it that was just organic and natural and almost as if it was its own its own entity. I mean, it was just like a flower. It just was happening in front of us.
And you know, we've heard nothing but great things about it, read a lot of really good press about it, so
we're
excited. You'll
be able to come and see it?
Yep.
Yeah, definitely.
Good.
Yep, definitely. Tomorrow night. I think Charity has a few questions about Nevermore.
Sure.
I was actually going to, I've heard you mention that biography a couple times, and I was wondering which biography it was that you read.
Well, I read a couple. Mm-hmm. The one that I particularly remember was Kenneth Silverman's biography. And, you know, any biography of Poe is really revealing. He just had a unbelievably tragic, troubling, difficult, he had so many obstacles against him. And, you know, his mother died before he was three. He was brought up in kind of a foster home that sort of wavered between, you know, taking care of him and just, I don't know, I had the feeling like he was sort of a novelty or a pet, and you know, it's a couple that couldn't have children, and but they gave him a good education, I'd say, and a brilliant man, and you know, he was his own worst enemy, and he also had a hell of a lot of bad luck, and genetically a proclivity to have bad reaction to alcohol, and I think he was manic depressive, and but an absolutely brilliant, titanic intellect.
You know, and it seems like genius often goes along with manic depressive and self-destructive behavior.
I call him America's Van Gogh.
Yeah, I can totally see that.
Totally.
Yeah. It's just that tragic figure. He did have some success in his life, certainly with the Raven. But nothing compared with his peers. I mean, there were a lot of writers that we have never heard of that were doing very well. Thank you very much. And that really irked Poe, because I think he really had a self-knowledge of his gift.
Right.
Yeah.
And so it was really bothersome for him. Like what's a guy got to do here?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's very similar to Van Gogh. Did you have some more you wanted to add?
Oh, yeah, totally. With him being such a dramatic figure and everything, is there anything that you, like any rituals you go through to get into that character beforehand?
Well,
is he hard to shake off at the end? Or?
You know, I would say I've said that when I was ramping up to do this. At this point, I still try to keep an open mind and I still focus on it, but it's kind of like the path is... I've trod the path enough now that it's not like a deep sort of place I have to go to get into the character as I did at the beginning of the whole process, you know, a year and a half ago. It's still a very difficult place, and I have to sort of get everybody away so I can sort of get in the zone. And
right.
There's no doubt about that, but it's not quite the process that I used to have to go through. You know, when you're dealing with somebody who is so troubled, it can start, you gotta leave it at the office, you know what I mean? Sometimes I would not be so good at compartmentalizing it.
Right.
Oh,
my
yeah.
wife would go, hey, cheer up. Yeah, you're right.
I'm sure there's a little bit of habit. once you've played it for
so long. That's right. It's kind of like a skier going down a slalom. Once you kind of know the course, you know it, and it's just getting into a zone of concentrating to get it and tell yourself, oh, okay, I've already done it. I know it.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like that.
After Fantastic Fest, you've got another showing in October?
I do. October 16th in Los Angeles, just a one show at a Creations convention.
Okay.
At the Marriott. That'll be an interesting thing because I've never done this show in a ballroom at a hotel before, but I just wanted to bring it to the fans, you know.
That's
and
awesome.
And I think that's the Weekend of Horrors, right?
It is. Weekend of Horrors. You know, it's that hotel across the street from the Burbank Airport.
Right.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
I don't know if they have tickets or not, but it's a big room. Believe me, it's a big room. So,
is that the biggest one you've played to, or have you played to?
You know, here, these rooms are really big. Mm. Even though this theater only holds 200 people, at the Alamo, there's a little plank table in between every row.
Mm.
So 200 is actually in the space
of
400. I'm way out there to get to those people in the back.
Right.
So I would say this is the farthest throw that I've had to do.
Do you have any other performances scheduled after October?
Yes, I do. Uh-huh. I'm going to down near San Diego. There's a repertory theater called the North Coast Rep, and
awesome.
It's in Solana Beach.
Great. Yeah.
And I did the show there a couple of times in January of this year, and he's asked me to come back and do four shows in December, 9, 10, 11, and 12, at the North Coast Rep. In Solana Beach, just a hop, skip, and a jump north of San Diego, and not too far from your
totally.
And so, we have listeners and people that read the blog, the website there.
Yeah.
So be sure and go see the show. We're going to see it tomorrow night.
Yeah.
We've heard nothing but great things about it. So definitely go out and see it.
And that's a lovely little theater. It's nice and intimate, and I really enjoy playing it there. So I'm looking forward to going back. So.
That's great. And you also have another convention coming up. It's another creation event in Chicago, which is the 22nd through the 24th.
Yes, that's right. I'm looking forward to that. I get to play with my boys. We have a little show that we do. Casey Biggs and Vaughn Armstrong and Armin Shimmerman and Max Gradencheck. We do a thing sort of a knockoff of the Rat Pack.
Oh, great.
We get dressed up in tuxedos and have drinks in our hands. And
that's
Max
awesome.
Gradencheck is a brilliant lyricist. And so he takes familiar tunes that you know in popular culture and puts Star Trek lyrics to them. And we've done it a number of places, and it goes over quite well.
Yeah, you didn't do that in Vegas.
No,
we
didn't.
This last August, did you?
Did we?
I don't think Max was there.
Yes, we did. No, we didn't do it there. That's right. We did not do it there.
Because we would have loved to see. We were in Vegas.
We did it the year before.
Okay. Gotcha.
So we didn't do it this year. I kind of wanted to keep us, not repeat themselves. Right?
So your first role, and I'm not sure if Turon, did that happen before Wayun and Brunt, or
yes.
Was it around the same
no,
time?
No, Turon was the first one that I ever did on Deep Space Nine. I would have loved to have been on Next Gen, but I couldn't get arrested on that one for some reason. And then Deep Space Nine, I remember going in for a few things and thank you very much, and go home.
Right.
But then, Turon came along, and it was a wonder. But, a lot of happy accidents there. It just so happened that Jonathan Frakes was directing it.
Oh, that's great.
And I had auditioned with Jonathan and knew him slightly, informally. And so he cast me, and then I reunited with an old theater buddy of mine, René Aubergemois, while I was shooting that. And he was gearing up to do his first directing gig for Deep Space Nine, and it was a Ferengi episode, and he suggested me for Brunt.
Oh, no kidding.
To the producers. And
oh, that's great.
Yeah.
And they said, whoa, he just did an episode. And he goes, yeah, but Ferengi, then what's going to know?
Right.
And they went, well, you're right. And so that's how that began. That's how that began.
That's how you got Brunt. And Brunt, much like Wei Yun, much like Shran, iconic. Completely
Thank
iconic.
Thank you very much.
And so this actually leads into another question. When the writers created Shran, was that made specifically for you?
Well, I don't know that. Maybe, perhaps. All I know is that they called and asked me to do it.
Okay.
Which was a great honor. And my only question to them, well, they asked me if I would do a guest star. And I said, well, I don't know. What does this entail? And they said, well, it's an Andorian. Mm. And that certainly piqued my interest because I'm a big fan of the original series. So I knew that that was sort of unexplored territory. And my only other question was, does he die in the episode? Because, Wei Yun can die. And that doesn't matter, but that's only that's not gonna repeat itself with other characters. So they said, no, he doesn't. And I went, okay, I'll do it.
That's good.
Because I wanted to leave the door open to maybe come back and not fall into that category of, well, no, his character died.
Yeah, some of the most powerful episodes, funny episodes of Enterprise. Shran's super expressive, obviously, with your face, your acting ability, and his antenna.
I know. Yeah. So there's a marvelous pairing there. That in the technology, it felt so sort of organic.
Right.
It made the makeup kind of come alive and have another dimension. That a lot of that makeup sometimes, foreheads that are static and
right.
and all of that.
Much like Brunt. Right.
Or any Ferengi.
Right.
Yeah, how much of your own personality did you bring into Shran?
Well, I can be taciturn at times. I sort of approached Shran this way. I tried to find a parallel because, looking back at Star Trek, the original series, there were parallels there. The Federation was America, and the Klingons were Russia,
right.
And the Romulans were China. And any kid growing up in the Cold War knew that.
Right.
That seems to have precipitated, and that's really not a dynamic when you look at those anymore. But
right.
At the time, that was a very, very strong metaphor. And now with Shran, I sort of looked at him and the situation that the Andorians had with the Vulcans as sort of the British with the Irish. And that the Andorians were kind of the get out of our territory, up the Republic,
right.
The cool officious British, and the hot chip on their shoulder, not on my watch kind of Irish, hackles up, not trusting. You've burned me too many times, and you hide behind this officious facade of coolness. Forget that.
Right.
Yeah. I'm not having any of that. Fool me once, shame on you. Burn me 1,000 times, I'm going to kill you. So that was sort of my inspiration was actually James Cagney.
Oh, that's perfect.
Yeah.
Actually, now thinking back to the episodes, that's absolutely
the little
perfect.
Guy who just will stand and... You may kill him, but he will kill you too.
That's perfect. And you said at VegasCon, you were talking about Wei Yun being a middleman. Middle management is
yes.
what Wei Yun was
yes,
based on.
That's right. Just sort of that, the guy that's sent from the head office to look over your domain and make sure that everything is running, and he's very reassuring and even takes you out to lunch and you have some laughs maybe and makes you feel very comfortable and you hug and he leaves and then your entire department shut down the next day.
Much like the two Bobs from Office Space.
Right, yeah.
And you go, what happened? What just, that son of a bitch. So that's sort of, that with a little, I also, my inspiration there was kind of, Renaissance court, the politician, the person who's very elegant and worldly and knows where all the bodies are buried and very pleasant And then the little mix of also, because of the look of the makeup and everything, there's sort of a graceful kind of Japanese kabuki kind of kind of poise that I tried to incorporate too.
That's perfect. Yeah. So I think now we want to transition into your upcoming work. We've seen that House of Reanimator has been announced.
That's just not even happening.
No, really?
Okay.
It is the one project that I get asked about so often because it's on IMDb.
Right.
It's not happening. It's not going to happen, at least not in that permutation.
Gotcha.
So,
okay. And we also saw Chatham, I believe.
Chatham, that's online.
Okay.
That's online. It's a lovely animated. It's incredible. So I Chadam, check it out.
And you play Viceroy in that?
I play Viceroy in it. Yeah, it's a voiceover.
Gotcha.
I want to tell you, I just found out the other day that I'm going to be doing another voiceover on a movie that's I'm going to be doing the recording next week. It's a clever little independent movie called Motivational Growth.
Okay.
And it's about this loser young man who hasn't left his apartment in about over a year. It's in really bad condition, and one day he goes into the bathroom, and this pile of mold that has grown in the corner starts talking to him.
Oh, that's good.
Oh, that's great.
That's totally great.
And so I am the mold.
Oh, that's
that's
good.
Awesome.
That sounds good.
New that's dimension awesome. In my career.
That's
but
great.
It's a very clever script. I'm looking forward to it.
Definitely. Oh, yeah. One last question, something we always ask.
Yes.
It might be something you've been asked a thousand times.
Probably.
Always in the episodes with this. What was your favorite episode?
Not
necessarily
Trek,
one that you worked on, could be,
right.
But of Star Trek.
Of Star Trek?
Yeah.
Well,
any of the iterations.
Right.
Well, there are a lot of the original series that I loved because they were so pivotal in my childhood. I just wore out the carpet watching them when I was a kid. So pick one, you know. I mean, they're all so, some of them are really wonderful.
Right.
Of my own, Faith, Treachery, and the Great River.
Okay.
Because it really sort of kind of put me on a shuttle with Renee and really sort of explored who the Vorta were and who Weyoun is, and actually had a conversation with myself in that one because I'm two clones and one defected. The defected one defected.
Right.
It's very sort of mirror house. And so that was really, really enriching for me. And the other one I loved was the one where it flashed back to New York City and
Far
Beyond the Stars.
That's a beautiful piece.
It's a gorgeous episode. And and, you know, just being on the back lot on the New York streets and like, no expense was spared. I mean,
right.
It was like as if you were in New York. I mean, everywhere you looked in any direction, there were cars and costumes and set designs. It was really, really delicious. And I have great memories of that evening hanging out with my old friend. Well, now he's my old friend, but then he was butting into my new friend, Ira Stephen Bear.
Okay.
And just having some great laughs with him. You know, a lot of the time it's the experience behind the camera that we remember more than the...
Sure.
Yeah.
But that is an absolutely amazing episode.
Yeah, I didn't have a lot to do in it, but I thought that had a lot to say.
Yeah.
So.
Definitely.
And I love the idea that it could be... You could be... That the entire Deep Space Nine is... in the imagination
right.
of a sci-fi writer in the 50s.
Right.
Yeah.
It's just a brilliant
good.
Concept.
It's good stuff.
Oh, yeah.
And I think we actually were gonna wrap it up, but we really...
Us the sign.
Yeah, they peeked in and gave us the sign.
Okay.
So we really appreciate it.
Yeah.
Wow, my pleasure.
It's fantastic.
Yes.
Thank you
so
much.
Thank
you
so much.
Glad
we
could we get a picture?
So that was episode 3 of Subspace Communique's Life After Trek. And we really hope that you guys enjoyed listening to this episode. It's one of our favorites to record. I mean, not often do you get a chance to sit down and have a one-on-one interview with Jeffrey Combs. Also, if you want a chance to see Nevermore, his one-man Edgar Allan Poe play. You have a couple opportunities coming up, including Creation's Weekend of Horrors. That starts October 15th through the 17th, and I believe Nevermore is playing the 16th at 9 p.m. You will need to buy extra tickets for that, with the Weekend of Horrors pass. You'll have to buy the Nevermore tickets separately. We'll have some links in our show notes for that, though. Also in December, Jeffrey will be playing Nevermore at the North Coast Rep in Solana Beach, California. That's scheduled for December 9th through the 12th. I looked at the North Coast Rep website, and nothing's listed yet, so we'll definitely have to post something a little bit later on in the year for that. Also, Jeffrey is going to be at the Chicago Star Trek Convention. That's another Creation joint, October 22nd through the 24th. Lots of Star Trek stars there for you guys to check out. So again, thanks for listening. If you've never been to our site before, it's subspacecommunique.com. We're also on Twitter, twitter.com/subspacecoms. Facebook also, facebook.com/subspacecoms. So be sure to stop by and do the social thing with us. We have one more episode in the can, which is going to be coming in the next week or two. And since this is a mini-series, we're going to give you guys episodes when we can get them. As soon as we get interviews, we'll definitely put them out on the web for you to listen to. So stay tuned for episode 4, coming in about a week. And again, thanks for listening, and until next time, live long and prosper.